You're listening to This is Yoga Therapy. I'm your host, Michelle Lawrence, and I've had the opportunity to interview many of those who are making a difference at the intersections of yoga and health. And I'm here to share with you their stories and conversations. Thanks for listening. So hi, everybody. My name is Michelle Lawrence, and I am the director of Inner Peace Yoga Therapy. Tonight, I'm here with several students and alumni of our program. I'm going to bring them up in just a second and introduce them. Really, tonight is about hearing from them, inviting them to share their stories and experiences, not only in our training, but also for those who are graduating or have recently graduated, what they're doing in the field, and even those who are still in the training, there's work happening already. And I'd love for them to share that a bit so that you get a taste of that, particularly if you're curious about becoming a yoga therapist. So with that said, the first person I'd like to introduce tonight, and then I'm going to give each of them a chance to speak a bit after I introduce them all. First person here I am highlighting on the screen for you is Karen Campbell. She's a current student in our 800-hour program. She lives outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We'll talk with Karen in just a moment. Also here with me today is Toni Vandermeerel. Toni's in Vancouver, British Columbia. She's completed the 800-hour yoga therapy certification program. Woohoo! Yes. And she's here to tell you a bit about her and her experience and what she's up to with this work. Also with me is Katie Pine. Katie lives in Denver. She too has completed the 800-hour yoga therapy certification and she's working in private practice. I'd love for her to tell us what that looks like for her and for the people she works with. And then also here is Janet Liu, and Janet lives in LA. She's currently moving through the 800-hour program. She'll be done soon, won't she? She can tell us what that's been like and really where she's been working and hopes to do with her work when she completes the 800-hour path. So with all that said, I'm going to speak more specifically right now to Karen. There'll be time at the end here tonight too to ask questions if you do have questions. So Karen, I'd love for you to share with folks why you chose Inner Peace for your training and where you are in your learning path and how it's going for you. And how are you bringing your yoga therapy studies into the work that you currently do? So tell us a little bit about what you do and how you bring that in and perhaps how that you hope to grow over the course of time as you complete your certification.
All right. Hi, everyone. I'm Karen again. I am a teacher by trade. I've been an educator for about 24 years, mostly teenagers, middle, high school, and first year of college. I work at a private school in Philadelphia. I live right outside of Philadelphia. I teach yoga as a part of the physical education program. Students can take a yoga class focusing primarily on asana. I propose to teach yoga philosophy course next year to seniors. And that course will give them a little bit of theory with some of the practice. So my yoga journey is that when I was in college at Temple University in Philadelphia, I took a yoga class with a friend from India. She told me, oh, take this class. It'll be an easy A and I'll help you. And I did. And there was this little old lady that taught it. And I was amazed by what she could do with her body that I couldn't do when I was only 20 years old. And she probably was, sadly, she might have been my age, the age that I am now. But at that time, she seemed so much older. And the fact that she was so supple and happy was like, what is this? And I started looking for anywhere I could learn more, do more, buy books, be in classes. And I took my first certification in 2000. through a fitness organization. So it focused only on asana. And it was for the purpose of teaching introductory yoga in like a gym setting. So think like calisthenics, basically, with some nice music, perhaps. But I did that because it was something. And I was figuring out that there was something about this yoga that was big for me. I would cry in Shavasana. I would cry in poses. Maybe this has been your journey a little bit. Like it seems magical when you start. Like life, there would be times where my practice would be really strong and daily. And then there'd be times like gaps of time where it wouldn't happen. Then life happened. I had a baby. I started teaching and doing adulting and all that. Every time I went through something, I would always come back to yoga in some way. And in 2018 or 2016, that year matters, right? That was a tough year for me as a person of color in this country. And I really reengaged with my practice. I started doing work exchange at a local studio in my area and decided to do a regular 200-hour training, which was actually pretty good as far as those 200 hours go. But it was a taste still, right? Like they don't really get into a whole lot, but it was great. It was a community, a really diverse community, which was really important to me. And then during the pandemic, it closed. In the midst of all that, I was diagnosed with cancer. Right before the big shutdown, I had finished my treatment. I had just gone back to work. And I went back to work probably too soon. So the shutdown was a blessing for me. And in that time, I had this new body that was ravaged with chemo and with radiation that couldn't do the things that I was doing before. Not that I was like killing the world on fire with the physical stuff, but I had a different body. I had a lot of anxiety. I had a lot of guilt and depression and a lot of time on my hands because we were all home. And in trying to learn more about how to care for this new body and to make sure that I, you know, was as healthy as I could be, I don't even remember how I stumbled upon yoga therapy before, but I came back to it right at that time. And I said, you know, this is the best time, right? I have all this time. It's a great time to learn. And I posted in a local Facebook group in Philadelphia of yoga teachers. And I said, anybody do yoga therapy? And if you did, where did you train? And tell me about it. I wish I could tell you, Michelle, who that person was, but I don't remember. But somebody posted that you got to try Inner Peace. It's amazing. They just opened up online classes, so you could do it. And then I went to the website. What was most striking to me, besides the fact that there were actual scholarships, was the diversity of people who would be sharing their expertise and the diversity of subjects as it related to yoga therapy was compelling to me, in particular the cancer module. But not just the cancer module, right? Like there were other things that were super interesting to me. So I just applied and I just threw it up to the universe that let's see what happens. It is the best decision I have ever made, like every yogic decision I've made. I just finished level one. I'm beginning my research now. I've gone back and forth about my topic. Because my life, so obviously I'm very interested in the fact that in the medical world, we work on ridding bodies of cancer, but there's very little that's done with people once that happens. And there's a lot for people to know and learn. And I would love to be able to help people who were in my position and not knowing what to do to kind of make themselves whole after treatment. But then I have these two other sides of me. I love working with teenagers. I'm a crazy person, I think. That just is something that I enjoy doing. Everything I've learned, every single module, I bring something back to my kids. school environments are just tough right now. They've always been, but especially now. I love creating space, holding space for teenagers. So there's something there that I'm still exploring, and I'm actually doing a mentorship around that this summer. And the other piece is I'm a racial literacy trainer. So I help people with DEI issues, excavating their own racial literacy. So this is a little different than just like the buzzwords around anti-racism and all that stuff, but it's realizing that we all have racial stories. And until we learn what they are, we will never be able to be in community with each other if we can't like actualize all of who we are and see it. And I think yoga therapy actually helps there too, believe it or not. I work really closely with a psychologist in Philadelphia, has done a lot of research on breathing in particular and working through tough conversation. And we use breathing techniques in our trainings, in working with people. And I think there's more to be done in that space. So I've done some work with other people. If you've read Rezma Menakem's work of My Grandmother's Hands, he talks a lot about embodiment, what he calls somatic abolitionism, because he feels like it's not intellectual when we're talking about race. Like there's body stuff that we need to work through as well. And I don't know how these three aspects of my life are going to kind of play themselves out in what I want to do with what I'm learning. But boy, do I love the journey. And I love that I've been able to take time once a month to really like delve in things that really are of interest to me and excite me. I don't know what I thought, but it's been amazing. And I am super excited to continue on the journey and happy to answer any questions anyone might have. That was a long answer.
It was great. You covered it all. Thank you so much, Karen. And I love what you do too. And I'm excited about all the things. And I'm thrilled that I have a small part in supporting you on that path, and I get to witness what you do with it. And that to me is really, really inspiring and exciting too. Anybody have any questions for Karen before we move on? And we can circle back at the end and just kind of open it up to general questions too.
Hi, it's Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. You know, Karen, I just wanted to say I love your enthusiasm. And I love your passion, and I can just feel those three aspects and even more. They're coming together for you, but I just kind of feel that because of the way you talk about it and because of your journey. So thank you for sharing.
I appreciate that, Nancy.
Thanks, Nancy. So, Tony, now that you've completed your certification, what are you doing? And I know that, like, it's an extension of what you were already doing before, but perhaps you can share with our listeners how Inner Peace has helped you prepare what you offer to the world. How has it grown or shifted as a result? So tell us a bit about those things and share more if that helps give context too.
Okay. So hi, everybody. Nice to see everybody's faces. And thank you, Karen. That was really interesting. Really, really interesting. And you had something there. You said that DUI or something? No, it wasn't DUI, but I was like, I didn't know what the acronym was. So I'd love to come back to that.
She said DEI as in diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. So I was a art therapist way back. Then I did my first yoga training. I've been practicing at home for 12 years, I think, because I went to two classes, hated them, and decided I would just practice by myself. And on a whim, I decided to take a 200-hour and fell in love with it, obviously. And I was working in a studio as an art therapist with adults with disabilities, any kind of disability. And I realized as I was delving into this kind of yoga world that they were not served whatsoever in the yoga world. I decided to offer that to them and realized after my 200 hours, I had no idea what I was doing. And everything I'd learned did not apply to people's bodies. So I just started getting really creative and I started volunteering as much as I possibly could and reading. And so since then, I think that was like 2013, I've been working with the disability community and loving it. And I work with a couple of different programs here for folks living with MS and with cerebral palsy. I also work at the Disability Center here for rehabilitation. So that's pretty much anything whatsoever that goes on with people physically or mentally that they need to be rehabilitated for. So I work with them and love it. So with that comes the chronic pain piece, which has been a huge part of my journey. And I also work with the hospice here, and it all kind of wraps up into one, anybody with a life-limiting illness. So I work in a program attached to the hospice, local hospice here, which is focusing on how people with a life-limiting illness, their caregivers or loved ones, or people who have lost and are grieving, how we can offer them an opportunity to move forward through it, whatever it is that they're going through. And we have an amazing team. We have music therapists as well as yoga therapists, or I'm the only yoga therapist. There is another yoga instructor there. And yeah, so that's what I do. And I love it. And the reason that Inner Peace was so bang on the button for me was that it had the opportunity to take the route that you wanted. I wasn't structured in a way you had to do this, you had to do that. I loved the way Michelle has put a program together. There are choices within that, which was really, really important to me because I knew what I wanted to do. And I really appreciated that Michelle was so flexible and so supportive in kind of the areas that I wanted to delve into, which probably wasn't, you know, a lot of it isn't your obvious path of yoga therapy. So I work a lot with death and dying and grief. And I only work with yoga therapy for 2.5 days a week because I also work as a clinical hypnotherapist and do some other therapy too with a lot of death, dying and grief. So that's what I love. And what else am I doing? I'm very excited because I randomly met a couple of weeks ago, not so random, right? A palliative nurse. And we got together just over coffee because we had so much in common. And we are starting to put together a program for people who have been given diagnosis of a life-limiting illness and to put a program together for them to, because both of us have noticed that even in hospice, she works with the three cancer societies in BC or in Vancouver here. And we've both realized that nobody likes to talk very frankly about death. Even the program that I work in, which is funded by and the program is attached to literally the hospice, still very few people are willing to have very candid conversations. So people are having experiences of death and dying and nobody's talking to them about it. And so we want to put a program together. I'm super excited about it because it like came together in like an hour and a half. We had it all written out. So I'm figuring it wasn't actually us that was doing that. But she has the clinical side of things. I'm very much with the yoga therapy. I can bring in a lot of anxiety and tools for managing pain, managing everything that they're going through. We also want to give them an opportunity to talk and share what they're having because they're going to build community. That's the intention. That's the entire intention is that they don't get to feel alone in this. And then I'm super interested in the spiritual part of death and dying. And that to me is what lights me up and what gets me excited because I have a certain belief system, which yeah, it kind of feeds into that. And I work with the hospice with people with their fear of dying and letting go of that. So I'm going to shut that down because I could go on forever.
Thank you, Toni. And to me, it just strikes me that you already had like a path that was in place for you and work that you were doing and that the yoga therapy education and piece to it just really amplified the work that you were already doing and supported the path that you clearly knew was your Dharma already. Am I correct in saying that?
And I would definitely say, I was talking to a colleague about this the other day, that before I stepped into Inner Peace, like I had a lot of training, I would say, and I had quite a lot of experience behind me. And I knew what I was doing. Like I knew what I was doing here. But through the 800 hours, like I no longer have to rely on this because I like know it right here. And that to me, the greatest gift that this has given me and that you've given me, Michelle, is confidence in knowing that I'm good. Like, and it's not, I don't mean that in a way that there's not things to learn, because that's a never ending journey. But I really feel like before, when I worked, especially one-on-one with clients, I would be up here all the time and be like, oh, I need to figure that out. And I need to do a bit of research here. And of course that stuff still goes on, but now I can fully be present with a client and I like know it in my bones. And that to me is the gift of this training.
What you just shared with me is like a huge gift. Knowing that you got that out of the training is just, there's nothing that can compare to that. So
no, really not.
Thank you. And like, I'm just overwhelmed with joy that that is the case.
And me too.
Yeah. So next we're going to talk with Katie. Katie also has completed the 800-hour certification program. She's working in private practice. I'd love for you to tell us what that means and what that looks like. What are you up to, really, with this yoga therapy certification?
Yes, thank you for asking. Thank you for having me. It's fun to be together virtually. So I have a similar sort of backstory, I guess, in terms of after my first 200-hour training, I didn't feel like I knew as much as I wanted. So I was working in studios for a while. I took my training when I was in college, because yoga was a very grounding, supportive practice for me when I moved for the first time and was in a totally new environment. So that's when I found yoga. And at the end of college, I took my first training and loved it, but didn't feel like I was like, oh, I can handle anything that comes my way in terms of holding space for people. That's not how I felt at the end of that experience. So I was like learning how to teach for real in a public setting after that. And I just kept doing training. So I would teach occasionally publicly, but definitely not full time. And I would see where I could learn more things in the yoga world. And I did that for about 7 years of just kind of like dabbling here and there. And really, when I ramped up my public teaching, I did trauma training because I was like, I just want to make sure that I know how to meet things that might come up in a group setting. Even I wasn't doing private work then or anything like that. But I had moved to Denver and I did Genevieve Yellen's training that is actually an elective of the Inner Peace program, her Sundara yoga therapy program. And it was great. And that is where I learned about yoga therapy. And it was like this feeling of like, this is the thing that I've been wanting to learn more about. And so that was an incredible training for me to be in with a bunch of people from Inner Peace. This was back in 2017. So everything was in person and we were all together. And I got firsthand feedback from people who were in your training in Denver, Michelle, in 2017. And they just had wonderful things to say about the program. So I kind of started my yoga therapy exploration from there and got to enroll in the Denver cohort in 2019 here. So we had a nice blend of in-person before the pandemic, and then we moved online and we really learned how to teach online, which was invaluable as well. And starting in person was really cool to like be in the space with the incredible faculty. And because I wanted to really be able to kind of meet anybody that might come my way, whether it was in private sessions because people were starting to come to me for private work or in group setting, that's why I was drawn to Inner Peace as well. Because once I learned about yoga therapy, I did some research on like what programs were in the area, and the Inner Peace program had such a diverse faculty and wealth of experience and knowledge that and subjects that we were going to dive into, like Karen was saying, it really stood out to me that I was going to kind of get to learn what I wanted to focus on and that I would just be learning from this like breadth of master teachers. So that's what brought me into the program. And then the program itself really did everything that I hoped it would. It really equipped me to show up in a way, like Tony said, to know that I can support and that I can hold space for such a wide variety of backgrounds. It's almost hard at this point in my private practice to niche down to exactly what I want to focus on, because yoga therapy helps with so many different things. So, but it's unfolding organically, right? Like most things do. I mainly am working with clients with anxiety and for stress relief, a little bit of chronic pain relief, a lot of lifestyle management too, as we're coming out of, are we coming out of COVID, as we're transitioning into this new phase of the pandemic. A lot of people are finding me that just know that whatever they've been doing isn't working for them and they want to try something new. I also get a lot of clients who have a yoga practice already or have for a long time, and they're wondering what the next step is in their journey. And they're like, oh, more therapeutic approach to something that I know makes me feel good. Sounds great. But to give you some more specifics on being in private practice, I finished my training in December of last year. So I've been in private practice for about 6 months, and it's been really fun, really scary, like all of the feelings. It definitely helps me commit to and stay with all my practices, which is beautiful, right? We can't really offer things to people that we're not embodying in this kind of work. So I have practices to support me as I kind of go through the ups and downs of like navigating a totally new career. Before this, I was working in addiction centers. So I still do work in addiction centers in Denver in person when I can, in like group settings and in the residential treatment centers and things like that. In terms of group yoga therapy, I get to do it in those kind of settings, but I'm also doing private practice one-on-one client work. And when I finished my certification and got certified in January, I came through at the beginning of January, I was like, I need to find a space. So like, that's kind of where I started. I have a little studio at home and I do some online teaching, but I was like, I don't want people doing it with me in my house. Like, that was good to learn. So initially I was doing some private work out of one of the studios that I teach for, because I still do teach a couple private public yin classes and things like that in the Denver area. So I was using one of those studios and I was renting from another studio. So there's like a lot of studios in our area that will rent out their space if they have like a lighter class schedule and things like that. So I started there. It's just been interesting how it's all unfolded. I have a girlfriend who is a talk therapist, and she was like, she reached out to me. She's like, we have a body work room. Do you want to be part of our collective? One day a week, I'm in a talk therapy collective. Yeah, it's been really cool with 6 other therapists. And I'm only there once. And I just have that as a space to like start having people come see me in. And that's been great for networking. I'm like learning a lot about networking and new referral opportunities and partnering with other modalities, which has been really great. And I'm focusing a lot right now too on educating people about what yoga therapy is and how it can support other healing modalities, because not everybody knows what it is. So that's like a fun piece of it as well. So I've been able to do in-services for like talk therapy communities like that, and PT clinics in the area, and acupuncturists and chiropractic offices and things like that. And it's helping me hone in on like my offering, but it's also sharing how this kind of work can support other modalities that people are already offering in private practice settings. So I have that space that I work out of. And then I also work out of a wellness collective now. So Denver's like a very incredible space for healing and wellness offerings. So that's been really lucky. I feel fortunate that that's the case. But so now a couple of days a week as well, I have a space in like a collective of practitioners. And I'm the first yoga therapist. Like, that's very fun too. I get to share with everybody what my offering is and how it kind of complements theirs or can be different from theirs. And we're doing a lot of like trades within the collective to share what our offerings are and the kind of how they align with each other's. And that's been huge for kind of spreading the word about yoga therapy in this community. And we have found that yoga therapy is a complementary modality to even more things than I thought. So like, I'm building out a joint offering with an acupuncturist, where we're going to be doing some small group sessions where like he's doing some like needlework, I'm doing breath work, guided meditation, like body scan in a group format. We showcased it like a week or two ago for the first time, and it was very popular. So we're going to kind of like build it into a recurring series, I think. But it's just been really interesting to get to explore the different ways that you can offer this work. So I do have some small group things like that going on, private client work. I get referrals now from a lot of those other practitioners that I've kind of networked with and things like that. And from my public teaching that I still do, that's all kind of therapeutic and like yin yoga based, really meditative and slow. So people in those classes are a lot of times more prone to want one-on-one therapeutic instruction as well. So that's been great. And I'm interested to see where it's going to go. I'm networking as well with a couple organizations that I just like believe in and want to offer this work to. So I'm hoping to start offering yoga therapy at like the Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains. They have a bunch of facilities. And I was like, oh, come and I'll just do it for your staff. Like, it's been a hard time. So things like that are in the works. And the response has been very positive. And the client work is going well, which is always a nice reminder, even if you kind of feel like you're out of your comfort zone when you start doing something new, or especially if you do want to end up doing work like this full time or in private practice. People really need it and they really respond well to it. And so that's been very exciting. A couple other like holistic offerings I'm starting to build out with some psychotherapists and some nutritionists, actually, because those are two pieces that just we just do less of in yoga therapy, if at all. So we're doing a lot of holistic education and some workshops around anxiety relief and things like that. So I'm just kind of dipping my toe into a lot of different parts of my community and networking with people who are in my orbit already that are in healing practices, but also putting myself out there to meet new people. And it's been great. And I just feel like so grateful that my path has unfolded like this and that inner peace was in my orbit organically, right? And that it really did equip me to be able to show up for people kind of no matter what, which is what I've always wanted. So I'm very excited to see where it goes. I'm interested in kind of sharing the work with more communities that don't have access to it as easily. So we're going to see where that goes next. And I'll keep you posted, Michelle.
Oh, that's so awesome, Katie. Thank you. I can feel your excitement and way to go to put yourself out there in a lot of different ways. And that's part of it, you know, and I share that with prospective students, with students coming in, like, you do kind of have to get out there and share with people what yoga therapy is. And it is such a beautiful complement to so many things. And I think, you know, obviously the pandemic has been hard on the mental health of so many people, and there's just so many people that need help. But at the same time, I think there has been more recognition from other providers like psychotherapists, mental health professionals, that yoga therapy can complement what they're doing in a lot of ways. And that's becoming more mainstream and known. So thanks for your part in networking and getting it out there and being courageous to step into the unknown a bit too, and to see what it all brings about for you. I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So last, we're going to go to Janet. And Janet is getting really close to the end of her 800 hours. And so I'd love for you to share why you chose Inner Peace as well, where you are and how it's going on your learning path. And what are you most excited about? Do you think you'll have a niche or specialized focus when you graduate?
Thank you for having me here. So my story is similar to Karen. I've been an educator for many years, K-12, teaching art and music, working with special ed and teaching private piano lessons. So really teaching yoga was never on my radar. It really wasn't. I noticed, though, over the years, my students would be a little stressed coming to me after school. So I started to teach a little breath exercises before we'd start lessons. So maybe that was my, before I even knew what yoga therapy was. One of my yoga teachers said she was studying to become a yoga therapist. And I thought, what's that? And I've always been curious, like, why does yoga work? Why do I feel good after doing yoga? Why do I go to yoga every day? And so I started to do my own research. I was borrowing books from the library. And then I came across Inner Peace's podcast, which at the time, there was only a few episodes and it was still being housed on the website. I have a very long drive to bring my daughter to school, like 30 minutes each way, times two in LA traffic. So that's plenty of time to listen to a podcast episode or two. And so I really credit Inner Peace's, your podcast, to kind of being my first educational foray into what yoga therapy is. And it gave me a pretty good picture of who the faculty are. So if you're kind of curious, who are the faculty? I would suggest listening from the very beginning, because I think almost every faculty member has been interviewed. So you get a very good picture of their specialty. And I think a lot of them are pioneers in their field, and they've written the books on yoga therapy. And that really was exciting to me. So at the time, I never thought I could study with Inner Peace, but I knew I had to do my 200 hour, and I specifically sought yoga therapy school to do my 200 hours. So I chose one in Irvine, Orange County, Alchemy Yoga, which is a terrific school, great teachers. And so I went through that, but then COVID hit, and like everybody else, everything shut down. So I was wondering, okay, do I pause here and wait till everything opens up? It was a good thing I didn't. And somehow I learned Inner Peace had transitioned online. I thought, okay, this is a sign. This is a sign. So I registered, and so glad I did. And that was the summer of 2020 when I started at Inner Peace. So it's been 2 years. So currently I am finishing up my last two mentorship practicums. I'm in the yoga therapy for cancer care with Smith and Malaya and Ann Pittman. And I'm doing functional yoga therapy with Maria Sheamus, which I've taken before, but I love Maria. I always learn something new from her. So I'm doing it again. And it's going well, and realizing the challenges of working with people touched by cancer. But I realized that all the other coursework, not just the yoga therapy for cancer, but, you know, the grief, the yoga therapy for anxiety, all of that is coming into play in working with the cancer population. And it's been interesting. So you might think they're coming to you for their cancer, but maybe that's a secondary thing. Even the symptoms are secondary, but maybe they had longstanding trauma. So that's been the challenging part, but I love the complex cases. I've realized that. I started working one-on-one actually with clients 2 years ago. So it kind of went along with my training. So it transitioned from just teaching yoga to transitioning into what may look more like a yoga therapy session. At the very beginning, I had one client who was a stroke survivor. And so at that time, I had no idea what stroke was, had no idea. So I had to do a lot of research on my own. But after that first year, I completed my 500 hour, and it was something about timing. But right after I finished my 500 hour at Inner Peace, my father had a stroke. And I thought, oh my gosh, there's something about timing. You know, suddenly I have this toolbox full of yoga therapy tools. And now it makes sense. Like everything became really real. And I was suddenly thrown into the role of caregiver. I was thrown into this world of occupational therapists, physical therapists, speech language pathologists. And I was wondering, where does a yoga therapist fit into all of this? And I could see firsthand, there's a gap, and we really need yoga therapists to fill that gap. You know, when you're a stroke survivor, they take care of, there's plenty of people taking care of physical aspect, your physical body, getting you back to normal, getting you back to where you were, but nobody's taking care of that mental, emotional. It was really that, along doing with my training, it was fantastic, because I was, how can I use these tools that I've learned to help my father get better? And so, you know, I've always been interested in neurological conditions. So I don't know what, I think this may be my niche. I can't say for 100% for sure what it's going to look like, but this is definitely close to my heart. And I just suddenly make sense why I pursued my studies. I'm also interested in working with the cancer population, because I think there's a lot more resources out there in terms of yoga for cancer. The structures, they're more prevalent. Like if you looked up, you know, yoga for stroke, you wouldn't find that much. Maybe there's one book available. So I'm now learning from that structure that's already in place and hoping to borrow those ideas, but I'm not sure what that will look like. I'm sure there's plenty of people already working with the stroke population, but this is just an area that I think, you know, really speaks to me. And I'm just kind of a big fan of neuroplasticity. So I'm just going to take it one step in front of the other. And I'm not trying to look too far down the line, because I don't want to psych myself out. And I just think it's such a gift, these yoga therapy tools. We're such a unique field. We're not physical therapists. We're not psychotherapists, but we have something, we have tools that are so powerful. And that's what makes it so special, so necessary in the world today.
Thank you so much, Janet. I've been so impressed with your practicum work and what you've done. And even though you're taking it one step at a time, I trust that it will unfold for you the way that it should. And you've got all that you need to take you in the direction that you're bound to go. So thank you so much. Any questions for Janet? Or really, I'll open it up for questions to anyone from those listening in today, or comments, feedback.
Hi, I'm Nancy. I have a question, I guess, for everyone. How much of your yoga therapy work are you doing in person versus online? And if you are doing any of the work online, how is that going for you?
Anybody want to take that one? Tony, I'm thinking, Katie, Janet, why don't we start with you and then Tony and then Katie.
So, you know, I started working one-on-one 2 years ago and it's been all online, even though I'm in LA. Actually, I don't teach anybody in LA. It's people from all different states. So it's been going really well, I think, especially with people with chronic illnesses. It's been to their benefit to be able to do it from their home. You get to see their home and things that you can work with in their home, and they can show you where they usually sit. And that helps as part of, you know, the assessment and everything. So I think it's Zoom has been a terrific platform for doing one-on-one work.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I can speak to that. I teach on Zoom, but I also teach in person. So I teach one-on-one in both situations, and there are pros and cons to both of them. And I also teach small group settings on Zoom in person as well. So yeah, pros and cons, but I mean, the need is out there. And because of the people that I serve, a lot of them love the fact that it can be online because it's just more accessible for them. And especially with chronic pain, with disabilities, like just getting to somewhere is so hard. And there are even programs that I'm in now that we transitioned to online, and nobody wants to go back. Nobody wants to go back in person because the thought of having to travel to a place now is for all kinds of different reasons, not just physical mobility, but for anxiety, being out in the world, especially with lowered immune systems, things like that. And equally, there are people who I work with in person who love being in person and were waiting until we went back. So in the hospice, we just went back in the beginning of May. And there were people who were just like, thank goodness, I couldn't stand the screen anymore. Then, of course, working one-on-one in the hospice has been kind of throughout the pandemic. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Katie, Karen, do you want to add to any of that?
Yeah, I can kind of mirror Tony in saying that I have some small group work that I do online and in person, and then I do one-on-one online and in person. I really like having the option. If people find me locally now in the Denver area, they like to come in person usually. And if I have the option, I like to be able to assess in person if I can. But I was surprised. I remember when we switched in my training, how you still get so much information online doing assessments and like even the session itself in an online capacity. And I really like that I can see people from anywhere. So I have clients all over the country, and that's helpful for online marketing and things like that too. You know, it's just limiting to say, I can only see you if you can drive to one of these two locations that I'm working out of. So yeah, it's been really supportive to be able to offer a blend. And then occasionally as well, I'll have somebody that is in my area and I'll start with them in person. And then if they have a crazy schedule, we'll do a follow-up over Zoom or something like that. And you can even blend it like that.
Mm-hmm. Anything to add, Karen?
The only thing I would say is when you go through the very first module, or maybe it was the second, I was really shocked at how much you can glean from being online with a person. Because, you know, learning online is one thing. I mean, I'm a teacher, right? Like, learning online is one thing. But I didn't really realize how skeptical I was at first about the possibility of being able to look at someone's body online and be able to help them. Or look in their eyes and help them, or not look in their eyes and still help them. Like, you know, I don't know about you, but I did not teach any yoga classes on Zoom in the beginning. I did a couple, and they were a part of a journaling. It was part of a series. So it wasn't just yoga that people were doing. And I was surprised that we could create community that way. Mm-hmm. But I purposely did not want to necessarily teach yoga classes that way, because I was teaching on Zoom all day as a teacher. And I wanted a break, mm-hmm. quite frankly, from screens. I would just tell you, you'd be really surprised when you start going through the classes, how knowledgeable and confident you can feel even in an online setting.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, any other questions? All right. Bunky, I see you unmuted.
Hi.
Hi. You have a question?
Yeah. I'm kind of interested in the time you all were already involved in some sort of profession and you did this journey in addition to that. And I heard that a couple of you had the experience of being able to do it because it was the COVID time period. So I'm just looking for a little bit of the time commitment seems daunting in all of this.
Mm-hmm. So Karen, I'll share.
Can I share on that?
I'll share, and then I would love for the others to share too. So in terms of what the time commitment is for the program, it takes students generally 3 years on average to get through the whole 800 hours. Some students move through it in 2 years, which is the minimum. You cannot do it in less than two. And the way that our program is structured, and I've heard mentioned that this was one of the sort of selling points, if you will, is that there is a lot of flexibility built into it. So you can take more time if you need to, right? So you get through the level one course, which is the first 300 hours, and that's a lot. And then from there, you kind of move through the other components at your own pace and the time that works for you over a period of time. And in a variety of different orders, you can kind of complete that in a variety of different ways. Some things might be overlapping. You might put space between one thing and the next. So we are starting our next level one program in September. And we're calling it a hybrid in that we are going to offer some of it in person in Austin, Texas, and some of it virtually. So we want to be able to bring back some of the things that we love so much about the in-person training. Also, some of the things that we've kind of come to love about the Zoom, like being able to do it at home and not having to travel and saving money and all that stuff. So that's what's happening. And like I said, that's the level one course. And, you know, there's not a lot that happens for you as a student in between each month. So it happens like the training itself occurs like once a month. And when you're there, you're in it. And then in between those months, there's not a lot to do. You're integrating what you're learning, obviously, but not a lot of additional work. There's some exceptions to that. And then, as I mentioned, beyond the level one, students kind of take off down the path that fits their life and schedule and finances and time and all of that. And I find that students who can like chart that out for themselves, like what it's going to look like, how long it's going to take, when am I going to do this? And I happily help students kind of chart that out. They find some, I think, clear clarity around the process when we can do that together to see what it looks like and not feel pressured to that you have to do everything all at once. So that's sort of my bit on the question. I'd welcome any of the panelists to share their thoughts on that question too. Karen?
Sure. So I work full-time in a school. I was the learning specialist at my school. So what that means is I work one-on-one with kids who struggle academically. Maybe that's why I started looking up yoga therapy in the first place. Because when you think about kids who are struggling academically, most times it's less about the academics and it's more about something else. And I found that that was more times than not the case. And I wanted more tools. And I found that I was doing yoga with them just to help them calm down and figure out and be able to talk about what's going on. So anyway, what has been really helpful in doing the inner peace training in this way is that you know for the 300 hour, you know every weekend that it will take place. Like, you get the year schedule in advance. You know when the modules will be. You know what the time was. And what I did was I spoke with my boss to say, like, this is something that I'm doing. In the beginning, it didn't really matter because I was home. But once we got back to being in person, they knew that this was a commitment of mine. And there were times where, you know, I, even knowing the schedule in advance, where I had to pivot and I had to email Michelle immediately and say, we have like 5 teachers out with COVID. I have to help in some way. I may have to listen to a recording for the first half of the Friday, for example. But most times it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, unless it changes with this new hybrid situation. But whatever it is, you know well in advance. And I would say, like, what I had to do and what I continue to do is I chunk out a piece of time, like a day, where whether I'm in session or not, like, it's going to be devoted to my studies, if you will. And that's above and beyond the time that I'm in the module, so that I could, like, see it on a calendar. This is the learning specialist in me. Like, if you see things on a calendar, you chunk out your time, it doesn't seem so overwhelming. You take a little bit at a time. Michelle's unbelievably, and all of the faculty really, have been so accommodating and so flexible with my last minute, like, oh, my camera can't be on because I'm covering a class, but I'm listening. Or I have to go home between this lecture and this lecture, so I'm going to hop off and come back on. We're adults and people are very kind and very flexible, and everything's recorded. You get materials in advance. You sometimes have things that you might need to read or write in advance of a module, but you get that in enough time that you can figure out a way to make it work. I have not left my job. I still work as a teacher or work in a school setting. I do admission work now, but I work in a school setting. It's a fixed sort of thing. I enjoy it. So I don't know what that means as far as, like, being a yoga therapist. Like, I don't have any immediate plans to leave that. But as far as doing this while you are working full time, I think it is very possible. I think if you talk to the people you need to talk to and be upfront with them to say, like, this is something that's really important to me that I will be doing, but this is the time that I know I will need. And it's pretty minimal on your work schedule, unless you work on weekends. I guess that would be something you might have to look into a little bit more, but it's very manageable.
Thank you, Karen. Thanks so much for being here, everybody. I will share the recording out. I know some folks did not attend live. I see some other alumni here who I'd love to have on a future panel. So stay tuned for that and have a good evening, everyone. Bye for now. Thanks so much.
If you'd like to learn more about who we are and what we do, visit us at innerpeaceyogatherapy.com.